Good morning. Shabbat Shalom. This week's Torah portion is titled Shemini, or in English, Eighth. It covers Leviticus 9:1 through 11:47. This parsha continues from the previous parsha, Tatzav, which Aaron and his sons were installed into the priesthood with a highly structured 7-day installment ceremony. It begins on the 8th day following this ceremony. It continues with Moses instructing Aaron and his sons in the ceremony offerings to the great I Am. Take to yourself a bull calf for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering, both without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. In the same fashion, the newly installed priesthood led by Aaron gave instruction to the nation of Israel. Take a male goat for a sin offering and a calf and a lamb, both a year old without blemish, for a burnt offering and an ox and a ram for a peace offering to sacrifice before the Lord and a grain offering mixed with oil, for today the Lord will appear to you. The Almighty God had purpose for the complex execution of each and every offering. One of the Lord's purpose was to function as a built-in safeguard against mindless ritual in which one went through the motions or making an offering without really thinking about what they are doing or why. These precise sets of instructions directed the priests and people to be fully engaged in their worship. The chosen people's worship was to occupy their whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, like our worship and service to the Lord should be for us today. Upon completion of the offerings, the glory of God appeared before the nation and consumed the sacrifice with his all-consuming fire. Wow, wouldn't that have been something to see? Chapter 10 starts with a tragedy. Nadav and Avihu, the sons of Aaron, each taking a censer and burned unauthorized incense. The end result was fire came down from the heavens and consumed them both. After this occurred, Moses conveyed to Aaron these words that came from the Lord. Among those who are near me, I will be sanctified, and before all the people, I will be glorified. We should all be reminded of this. To whom much is given, much is required. Those who are closer to the Lord in positions of leadership will be held to a higher standard, and that will experience a more severe judgment for failure. Knowing this, do you still want to be a spiritual leader? In chapter 11, we learn about the requirements regarding the consumption of clean and unclean foods, better known as the kosher laws. A holy people needed a holy diet. God gave very specific instructions as to what he considered clean and unclean. This was given to safeguard the nation against diseases as well as to create a distinction between what was kosher and that what was treif, or unkosher and unacceptable. The nation of Israel was to be a distinct and unique, set apart from other nations in every way. To reinforce this, God made some powerful statements at the end of chapter 11. I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. You shall not defile yourselves with any swarming thing that crawls on the ground. And I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. In closing, I'd like to encourage us all to not go the way of Nadav and Avihu, the sons of Aaron who offered strange fire before the Lord. Both had been given an opportunity to serve the Lord and the nation of Israel as priests. Both gave way to the self, to flesh, and a self-willed determination, and confused privilege with power. I believe their act was a result of chasing a spiritual high, in a sense, turning the table on God, almost as if to say they had the power to command God's presence at will. Sound familiar? From the time of the Sinai covenant to now, the new covenant, we are experiencing a multitude of false religions and man-made processes that profess the ability to manifest God's presence. These false religions incorporate man-made teachings and revelations allegedly receiving from God, but are not genuine revelations. They operate under the guise of a new revelation and new prophets, which consist of types stemming from Islam or Mormonism, as well as several others. My friends, that's strange fire. Then there are those that on the surface look Christian or messianic, but like Nadab and Abihu, operate in the flesh. They try to fill their pews in their pockets to show their legitimacy through sheer numbers and money. Brothers and sisters, that's strange fire as well. Then there are those who say that we are all seeking the same God, but through different paths. Again, strange fire. Those who only talk about God is love and we must respect everyone's beliefs, but never talk about coming to God on his terms and Yeshua being the only way. That's strange fire also. Love is one of God's attributes, but so is holiness, justice and righteousness, and God's sovereignty. When we assemble to worship, it's reasonable to anticipate a close encounter with God. However, we must remember that God is sovereign and that it's his will and purpose that is to be done, not ours. Conversely, the adversary would like nothing more than to have you give up or become disillusioned and start chasing some strange fire. A.W. Tozer once said, "Among the gifts of the Spirit, scarcely one is of greater practical usefulness than the gift of discernment. This gift should be highly valued and frankly sought as being almost indispensable in these critical times. This gift will enable us to distinguish the chaff from the wheat and to divide the manifestations of the flesh from the operations of the Spirit." In other words, we need wisdom and discernment to keep us away from strange fire. So in closing, let us all keep our eyes fixed on Yeshua, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's come to him with open stretched hands, hiding nothing and showing that we are open to receive instruction and blessings. This will keep us from strange fire. Shabbat Shalom.